This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Hi, Jason Gibbs, Joy Production Manager. It's Radiothon time. We still need Joy and we need your support. If you appreciate our free podcast service, our voice for the LGBTI community globally, and the volunteers that make our service possible, please sign up, renew your Joy membership, or make a tax-deductible donation before June 30 to keep our service possible. You may win a prize. Head to joy.org.au and click on either the Become a Member or Donate tabs to support us. If you appreciate our podcast service, let us know in the comments section when making your donation. Joy Podcasts, where you want them, when you want them, at joy.org.au and on iTunes.
What a tune on Joy 94.9 Sunday.
Who was that?
Well, she's an up-and-coming performer.
Oh, she's just breaking into the biz.
She's breaking into the biz.
Right.
Her name's Ali McGregor.
Oh, yes. I've heard of her.
Who's that speaking, David? Oh, my God, she's in the studio right now.
You say my name, like, once with passion and I appear. That's how it works.
Well, like a genie. The wonderful thing is, and welcome, Ali.
Thank you for having me.
We had you on our show about 2 years ago. Mm-hmm. And you gave us that album, or you gave us two albums, and that one's a children's album. You're doing the Bjork song and with little kids in the background, which is great. And, we play them all the time on the show, which is great. Yeah. So, you know, like, look at you. You're one of the two artistic directors on the Adelaide Cabaret Festival.
Yep.
A huge festival, isn't it?
Yeah, it's the biggest cabaret festival of its kind, well, biggest festival of its kind in the world. No one else really does a cabaret festival that's quite as international as.
And who are you doing it with?
Doing it with Mr. Eddie Perfect,
right.
Who you may have heard of.
I think we have.
Who is just hitting his stride at the moment. He's currently, as we speak, he's in New York. They've just done the first run through of the new musical Beetlejuice.
Beetlejuice, right.
Yes. And the songs I've heard from that already are so good that, I can't see how it's not going to be a huge hit. So it's really exciting for him.
Well, let's forget about him.
He's got plenty going on.
It's all about you.
It's all about me.
Now, as I said, you were on the show before, but we always like to give a bit of a background on who you are. And to be quite honest, we've said off air, this is a natural flow for you that you would have ended up with being one of the co-artistic director of the Adelaide Cabaret Festival because your background, give us it.
Yeah, well, I mean, if you don't know who I am, I started my life, my singing life anyway, not like sort of straight out of the womb, but as an opera singer. And I kind of ran away with the circus, which at the time was the show La Clique, then became La Soiree. I sort of crept into the famous Spiegel tent one night after an opera and was utterly captivated and ended up touring with them and then creating my own shows. And then I started curating this late night variety night in 2005. So that has been going on at Melbourne Comedy Festival for, just did our 11th year.
And what do you do with this late night show?
It is a variety night in the true sense of the word. So I host it. These days I have a band. When I started, I just had, you know, a plastic instrument. And I have guests from around the festival and beyond. So we usually have stand-up comedians, some cabaret, burlesque or circus. And I was always very into the curation of that show. And so I like to have a really balanced program and balanced over a weekend, balanced over the whole festival. And that has absolutely been a fantastic lesson to do this festival.
Yeah.
It's on a much grander scale, obviously, and a little bit more specific. Having said that, you know, all the cabaret as a genre is kind of more about the venue than the piece in that it has to have an intimacy about it and suit that kind of cabaret environment. And so it's not a big leap at all to what I do at the comedy festival. It's been pretty amazing. And Adelaide Cabaret has such a reputation that pretty much anyone you call, if they can say yes, they will say yes. You know, there's not that much convincing.
Because it's actually put on by the Arts Festival, isn't it?
No, it's put on by the Festival. Centre. So Adelaide Festival Centre. Yeah. So that, the other beautiful thing about it is this festival is pretty much housed in the one building.
Yep.
And it's a festival centre, you know, not dissimilar to our art centre here in Melbourne, in that there's a few venues in one room. This year it's a little different in that we're going through major refurbishment. So we have a Spiegel tent this year right next to it, and we're using Her Majesty's Theatre, which is, you know, a sort of 5-10 minute walk up the street. But it still is all kind of in the one place, and there's late night clubs, and there's a winter garden, food, and so it's this beautiful place where you just kind of come and you don't need to leave anywhere else. You don't need to traipse around the city too much. And that's fantastic because people can kind of come into it, and it's a little bit like the TARDIS. You know, you walk in and it's suddenly, well, and you never want to leave, and you get very sort of protected, and people sort of tend to let down their hair a little bit.
Well, I was over there a few years ago for it, and it's very popular with Melbourne people.
It is, like the
Arts Festival in Adelaide is pop. Yeah. I can remember flying over on a plane for the Arts Festival 1 year. And literally the whole plane was flying over for it. And I knew most of those people on the plane. And the wonderful thing about it is, as you said, it's all within the arts theatre complex. Mm-hmm. And people were talking about, oh, I saw that show last night, or I went to this one and everyone's having a drink in the foyers and whatever.
Yeah, and the beauty of cabaret is most shows are around about an hour. So, you can fit 2 or even 3 shows in a night, which is, it's my preferred way of seeing shows. I love, you know, seeing, you just see this beautiful bite-sized piece, go and have a drink, go and see something else, then go to a late night club or something like that. So you can really fit a lot in. They're not hugely expensive, and also they're not a massive commitment. So if you go and see a show you don't know anything about, even if you hate it, you're out of there, you know, pretty soon.
I doubt
it's going to happen, but, you know, you're not committing to this massive thing and you get the babysitter and that's, you know, if you don't like that one, go have a drink and go see something else that night, you know, so it's a good night out, guaranteed.
Now, this is your second, Eddie, in your second one. How many are you doing?
Well, at the moment, these two are all that is has been announced yet. So,
Know if you're coming back or not?
I have no idea.
Okay.
And if I did, I would say that I had no idea as well. So I have no idea.
Damn, we're not getting an exclusive.
But, look, it's been, I've been performing at that festival for, I think I did about 7 before I actually took on, was it that many? Maybe not 6. I think before I took on the job. So I was really familiar with the festival and absolutely loved it, and already knew just the standard of work. You know, every year I'd been there as a performer, you know, I've sat in the wings and watched Bernadette Peters, and I've sat and learnt from people like Storm Large and Lady Rizzo. And, you know, it's really been a massive training ground for me.
And that's what I love about it as well, is that there's some local within, you know, like the state of South Australia and Adelaide, but interstate people. But then they bring in the big blockbuster shows, don't? Well, you are bringing in the big blockbuster shows.
Yeah, and look, we've really made a point not to have, you know, last year we had Dita Von Teese, which was fabulous, and that was like a big, big name. But we're not relying, we sort of haven't set out to say, oh, we have to have this big headliner, and because, you know, I'm a big fan of there just being a really great content across the board, and I also don't want to hire someone who's just on a TV show unless they have a really fabulous show to go with it. You know, it's kind of easy to fall into that trap of, you know, well, that's great, that'll sell, but it doesn't always work.
No. Are there any lessons that you've learnt from the first year and that you've actually put into practice for the second time around?
Look, it's hard to say because I'm pretty up myself, and so I would go to say that it was bloody perfect last year, and I'm just going for more of the same. There was some moments where, you can never know. There are acts that you absolutely adore, and some of the shows they're bringing are brand new shows. And even though you love an act, sometimes the show they bring isn't quite what you expect, and so that's a surprise. That always happens, you know. And then there can be, you know, people that you think, oh, this is a bit of a wild card, and then they completely knock it out of the park. But I don't think that's something I would sort of learn a lesson from, because that's just the kind of beauty of the arts, in that there's always something can go wrong and there's always something can go gloriously right.
Yep.
So, but I think I've just continued to trust my gut instinct of the acts I really love, and trust that, you know, my taste is fabulous. It is.
Exactly. Well, we've got so much more to ask you. Ali McGregor, thanks for coming in. We are talking more about the Adelaide Cabaret Festival on Joy 94.9.
Joy 94.9.
here on Joe 94.9, Sunday Arts Magazine, and we're talking cabaret.
We are.
Adelaide Cabaret, to be
Adelaide
exact.
Cabaret. My hometown.
Yes.
Oh, yes. You're a discerning fellow.
Left there long ago.
We don't want to scare the people, though, do we?
Now, you're with working with Eddie, you know, like, is there times when you disagree, where you go, I want this, and he goes, no, I don't think we should have it?
It's been really interesting, because I've known Ed for years, you know, over 10 years, and I've always got along really well with him, and I kind of knew that we had pretty similar taste, you can sort of tell when you tend to see each other at the same shows, etc. And there has been some that he's pretty straight down the line. If he doesn't like the sound of something, he's just bang. You know, he's got a few kind of trigger words. The songs of is a little bit of a one, but, you know, we've got over a few of those humps. But his instincts are really good. And so some things, if he says absolutely no and I feel really passionate about it, we have a really pretty good discussion about it, and there's never really been any fights. But if he says absolutely no and I could go either way, I trust his judgment. And the same goes with him, I think. So actually, it's been a really good working relationship in that way.
Can I ask you a question that we've brought up a bit, because it was our discussion at the beginning of our show today, reviewers?
Yes.
And was there some reviews last year of a particular show that were scathing and you thought it was unjust? Yeah, and what's your feeling with reviewers?
Oh, I'm trying to think what that was. Have I blanked it out of my mind?
No,
have I wiped it out of my mind? Is there a specific one you're talking about?
No, there's not. No, just in general.
No, because I can't think of anyone that really got... No, there was no one that really got really awful reviews last year, I don't think. Oh, look, yeah, I just want a well-written review. I don't care if they don't like the show. I just want it to be well-written, and I don't want them just to basically list all the numbers in the show. Yeah.
And their personal...
There's sometimes you read it and you just think, well, this is just you writing your journal entry, and I don't need this to go to therapy, but... you know, if it's a well-written, and actually there's nothing I like better than a well-written scathing review. I mean, A.A. Gill, you know, you read those kind of restaurant critiques he used to do and just think this is glorious, you know. And I have to say, you know, in Edinburgh at the Fringe Festival, I tend to skim through the paper and look for the fives and the one stars, because they're usually the, you know, most passionate reviews. But I think critics, look, you have to take them with a grain of salt, but
they can hurt a show, though, can't they?
Oh, look, they can, absolutely. And sometimes needlessly, sometimes you feel like there's a little personal grudge happening there, or
political, it's all political, isn't it?
Yeah, there can be that. Look, these days as well, though, I think with social media, the sort of word of mouth factor has come back into play a lot, which it kind of went out for a bit and people would just trust a review. And now, you know, every man and his dog has a blog. That rhymes. There's a lyric. And you know, they get passed around social media. People tell their friends on social media, and that is actually the best way to sell a show, which means generally if, you know, you're relying on people to tell their friends on social media, you're getting the right audiences to your show as well, because people are going, oh, I know someone specifically who's going to like this show.
Right.
Yep. So in some ways it's making for a better quality audience, because you're getting your niche people, not people who have just come out Saturday night and they saw it in the paper.
Yeah. So give us, an idea of some of the shows that a show that we might not know anything about, that, you know, especially if people are going from interstate over to, all of a sudden I've put you on the spot, haven't I?
No, you haven't. It's good. I just need to make sure I remember everyone.
Give us a snapshot.
Look, there's a few internationals that people might not know here. Some people will know Bridget Everett.
I love her.
Absolutely love her. Some people know her from the Amy Schumer show, and she's popped up on various TV shows and movies. I saw her solo show in New York at Joe's Pub last year, and it is one of the most wonderful cabaret experiences of my life. If you're a fan of being motorboated, it's absolutely your show. It's just so fabulous. She's brash, but she's just weird and wonderful, and got a voice to die for. She's absolutely fabulous. And she's coming over. We brought Murray Hill back again, and Murray's a great friend who I did Club Swizzle with. I've done a couple of seasons of Club Swizzle with him in Sydney and Adelaide. He hosted Dita Von Teese's shows last year. He's the absolute host with the most from New York. The hardest working middle-aged man in showbiz, I think, is his shtick. And actually, Bridget and Murray are going to be performing or a few other cities as well. I know they're coming and playing my local, the Yarraville Club here in Melbourne. Yeah. And look, I just, look, just go to it. She's just so fabulous. The other one is Dilly Keen. Now, some people may have heard of Fascinating Aida.
Oh, yes.
Fabulous group. Yeah. They've, you know, became sort of viral sensations with a few of their video clips. But Dilly Keen is kind of one of the main, there's two songwriters in that group. Dilly Keen's one of them. And this show, her solo show, I saw in Edinburgh 2 years ago. Last year, and it is just fabulous. You go in there thinking you're going to see this kind of older ladies. You know, I was thinking, oh, I'll bring mum. And then, you know, a few minutes in, you're like, oh, whoa, I hope mum's got an open mind. She's really, you know, she's wonderful. But you know what? The show I saw was just filled with a Blue Rinse Brigade, and they absolutely loved it. And you sort of think, because she's so clever and so witty, it never feels, you know, trashy. Ralston and Young are another a couple fantastic songwriters in the sort of Tom Lehrer kind of vein. They're also playing in Melbourne. They're playing Butterfly Club. Dusty Limits is coming back, who is an Aussie, although no one ever, he lives in London, and I think he likes to pretend he's not, but he's totally an Aussie. Kim Smith's coming home for some shows. Just two of the sort of our finest cabaret exports, young cabaret exports, which is great. I love me calling them young. And there's Lady Rizzo's coming back. We've got Camille O'Sullivan and Paul Kelly doing a show together. Meow's doing a beautiful show all about Her Majesty's Theatre in Adelaide. Then we've got Peter and Bambi, which people have seen, a comedy duo, Bad Magic Comedy Duo, which is Asher Trelevin and Gypsy Wood, which is just the most gloriously idiotic show. Briefs, gosh, Briefs, their brand new show, Third Encounters. Which,
completely new, is it?
Yeah, completely new. They've done one little preview show in Brisbane, that's it, and I've seen footage, and it's so exciting, it's so fabulous.
Because that kind of cabaret is so, like, it's such a huge scale, right? So is that stuff that you've been kind of weaving into the program
a little bit? Look, I'm a big fan of the big variety show. I've tried to make sure that we have on every weekend we have a kind of burlesque option. But you know, I'm not a fan of just having a burlesque show necessarily one after the other. I think burlesque works best in a variety aspect. And so last year we had Maura Finucane, and she had a birds show. and this year, you know, we've got Peter and Bambi, we've got Briefs, I like having something physical in the show, just so in the festival, so it's not, you know, just all singing songs about our stories.
So how many shows are there across the whole festival?
There's about 150. There's about 45. You're asking me stats, and now I'm trying to remember all my stats. I should have come here. Oh, Bourgeois and Maurice. I haven't mentioned Bourgeois and Maurice. A fantastic duo from London. And I think they might be playing in Melbourne if you're lucky, but I'm not sure. They might only be in Adelaide.
We're not talking about Melbourne here. We're talking about people going to the
forget Melbourne. I know. So in Adelaide, go there. Well, they're only playing in Adelaide, I think, Bourgeois and Maurice. And, have a look online for them, and you just want to go and see them. It's Bourgeois and Maurice Save the World, and I think they might. Mainly with just sort of glitter and just eyelashes the size of a small child. So
with such a big lineup, you know, 150, when people are going to look for tickets, you sort of suggested before, if they don't like one thing, they'll probably like the next thing that they see. Mm. So you're just suggesting people maybe make a night of it, book in a few shows?
Look, I think make a weekend of it. I've got a couple of wonderful fans who I think actually are Joy FM listeners as well. David, if you're listening, my rowdy gays, they come along to my variety night every year with a massive group of people. And last year, I encouraged them to come over, and they brought, I think there was four of them came over for 2 days. This year they're coming over for 10 days. They've booked 16 shows. They're making an absolute weekend of it. But every weekend is a different lineup. So it's good just to sort of see which of the three weekends you actually have free, come over, and then just literally plan out who you can see. And you can probably see two or three a night. But there's also lots of free stuff on. We have really interesting discussions, which are free. We have like songwriting discussions where Eddie mans them, and we have whoever's on board that weekend. We chat to them about the process. We have there's always music in the Winter Garden playing. There's live jazz and everything, so you can come over, and then it's winter, and there's a South Australian wine and cheeses and you know, Maggie beer things, and it's just the most perfect thing, because you can just stay inside with your wine and your cheeses and watch cabaret. Yep.
Well, I even have Adelaide friends who book a hotel in the city, and just go to shows all weekend.
Well, Grant Burge and his wife, who are one of our sponsors, sponsors and who get all our beautiful wine. They live in the hills, but they come. The last year, I think they came for the whole 3 weeks and just stayed in a hotel and just made an absolute holiday out of it.
Brendan wants to ask you about one of the big headlines.
Well, I've been listening to the cabaret, Alan Cumming. Broadway the Sam Mendes revival.
Yeah, it was the Sam Mendes production of Cabaret, the musical.
And Mr. Alan Cumming.
How amazing is he?
Just incredible.
He's achieved so much.
Yeah, he is. And this show, Sappy Love Songs, I saw in Edinburgh last year as well, and it was really special because he's a really charismatic personal, but he really opens up on stage. There's a lot of very intimate stories about his life and his family, but then also hilarious stories of backstage antics. And I don't know if anyone saw, he was also on a Who Do You Think You Are episode.
That's right.
Yeah, and he sort of talks a little bit about that and about that process of kind of finding that path and working out who his father was by finding out about, you know, his greater family. And that gets brought up in the show, and it's so moving and amazing.
And the fact that he goes way back, you know, he was in the Spice Girls movie.
Hello.
And, you know, like, I know. It's just the different variety of stuff he's done.
I know. He's certainly not one. He's also in a couple of Bad Kids movies. My daughter's own from Spy Kids too. Yes. He's the evil.
But nothing will ever beat Sandy Frink in Romeo and Michelle's high school reunion.
Forgot about that. Yes, that's post-it notes.
Post-it notes and the binder in front of his, you know what.
Hello.
I'm a bit too excited.
Oh, fantastic. And we've actually just released a second show because he was just coming out and doing one show and absolutely sold out. So we've released, he is this year's Dieter. That's their put. He will love that. And Lance Horn's coming out again, who's his, he came out last year as our international composer in residence. He's his MD and he's so much fun to show. And the rapport they have together is pretty special. Yeah.
Brilliant.
It's great.
Thank you so much for coming in. And thank you for this brilliant festival that you've put together.
Oh, thank you. Coming over this year?
I'm thinking about it.
I think you should. Yeah, it's going to be pretty mega. With the Spiegel tent and everything this year, I'm just so excited because that's my natural home.
Of course it is.
I feel very happy about that. So, yeah.
Brilliant. So the Adelaide Cabaret Festival, 9th to 24th of June. Go to Adelaide Festival?
Yeah, adelaidecabaretfestival.com.au. Also Adelaide Festival Centre website, but adelaidecabaretfestival.com.au. And if you go there or on my Facebook page, I've got a heap of tips and you can actually go there and I've put them into little sections, just kind of stupid little sections that might help you figure out who you like. Yeah.
Brilliant. Thank you.
We can't wait for it. You're on Sunday Arts Magazine. Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.